Amen. Take your Bible, please. Find the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 8 this morning. Matthew chapter number 8, we'll read responsively verses 23 through 27. So join me on the even verses. Matthew 8, 23 through 27. I just like to hear the sound of those pages turn.
Amen.
Usually means someone can't find it. Just kidding. I'll start reading in verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?
I need your attention today. In just about a little over 2 weeks, I will celebrate finishing my 46th year preaching. I can hardly believe it. I have been privileged to preach tens of thousands of sermons in those 46 years. Sometimes I preach to fill a need. Sometimes I preach to comfort. Sometimes I preach to warn. Sometimes I preach to correct. That's called skinning you. Amen. Today is a type of message I don't do very often. But as I get older, it's the type of sermon personally I would like to do more of. I won't, but I think it's time. Today, I want to preach a sermon on God's behalf. Now, let me say this. I'm not the Pope. I'm not trying to speak in his place.
Yeah.
It's not. There's no such thing as ex cathedra, in the place of God. Right. I'm not worthy to shine God's shoes. But I do feel that if you allow me, I would like to preach to kind of defend God, so that we would have a better understanding of God and be more just ourselves with God. The devil has used religion and bad teaching to give God a bad reputation. Every person under the sound of my voice has heard wrong teaching about God and that book. Say, how do you know? Because you're here. If you'll allow me, I would kind of like to be God's lawyer for a moment and defend him. I really believe many Christians have a wrong opinion or view of God. Some of what I say today, you're going to have to unlearn what you learned wrongly. But I'll show you from Scripture why you should not believe what you do, and why you should believe what he says. Bad doctrine, false teaching, liberalism, and so-called scholars have misrepresented God way too long. I want to stand as God's lawyer and defend God's case to you today, and I'm simply going to use God's only word. The King James Bible. We have heard the opposing side our whole life. And many have claimed to be representing him, and they misrepresent him. I believe you'll see how wrong they have been and we have been by listening to them. Please listen carefully. I hate to ask you this because you don't have much to give, but I need your mind. I need your attention. I don't need the fiddling with candy wrappers and food, and it's not supposed to be here anyway, but I really need your mind today for God to do the work that he needs done in your heart, in your life, and in your mind. But let me say this, I'm preaching this on God's behalf. I don't mean to be preaching at you, I just want to present God's case to you. God gets blamed for too much that is not on him, nor is his fault. Amen. For instance, listen to this next statement. Insurance companies. When there's a flood, a fire, storm damage, hurricane, earthquake, they call it an act of God. That's unfair. That's unjust. Why is it they blame God for all of this? God created the world. Listen to me. Watch this. God created the world in perfect balance.
That's right.
Don't judge the world by how it's running now. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. As God really created the world, it was in such perfect balance that it did not even need to rain. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 6 and 7. Let me read it to you. Verse number 5. And every plant of the field before it was on the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and it watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God watered the earth with a mist, not just dew, but a mist that every day would come up from the earth. And there was no need for rain. It could sunshine 365 days a year. And God watered the ground and the plants and all that we needed without there ever being rain. It wasn't until some 1,500 years later, almost 1,700 years probably, that the first raindrop fell as a judgment by God, and God took that water vapor from around the earth and allowed it to collapse and broke up the depths of the water on the ground, and it caused a gargantuan flood of which covered the whole globe. It was not an ice age. It was a flood. But notice the balance the world was in. It didn't even need to rain. And yet, all the water ran to the sea and cleansed itself like it still does. The water cycle was still there, but it was in perfect balance. Sin caused God to curse the devil, curse man, curse woman with the man, and curse the actual earth. Right. What we live on today is not the earth the way God created it.
That's right.
We must go back to the days of Eden to see what God really wanted. Now listen to me very carefully here. It was not until man sinned that there were storms. It was not until man sinned that there was sickness, affliction, death, murder. The storms never came prior to sin. The storms came because a result of the devil and sin, not because of God. Our sin caused God to have to curse the earth. And the earth is now out of balance, so to speak. It still functions and functions well, but does not function the way God wanted it to. Our sin caused this imbalance. And yet God gets the blame for every storm that comes. God gets the blame for every flood and every hurricane. God gets the blame for every earthquake and every volcano. And yet it's not as God created, because it was cursed by our sin. Why is it God's fault? I want to talk to you today about listening to God's side, not our side. Let's listen to God's side, not our side. Number one, God is eternal. Past, present, and future. By the way, everything God created is eternal. Past, present, and future. Let me remind you, the earth was created for man. The earth is still functioning. We still get our food. We still get our water. We still get everything that we have from the ground. We have to work harder to get it because there was a curse placed on it. There was a time when the animals got along with one another and didn't hunt each other. But sin brought death.
That's right.
Prior to sin, the earth was in perfect balance. Please listen to me. Man was not caveman.
Right.
Man did not live and get mad at his wife and throw two rocks together and make fire. He didn't suddenly discover that he could make fire and roast his food. God taught him. God taught him what to eat. There was nothing poisonous prior to Eden. Think through that. God said, you may eat of every tree of the garden. There was nothing poisonous. Don't get mad at me. And whether you choose to use doctors or you use natural stuff, but most of the natural stores wouldn't be in business because 3/4 of it's made out of weeds. Weeds were a result of sin.
Yeah.
Everybody doing all right? Even death. I've been with hundreds of people as they take their last breaths. The body struggles to die. Can I tell you why? Because God made it to live forever. God made this old carcass to live forever. And that struggle with death is because death is foreign to our body. God made our bodies to live forever, but my Bible says for the wages of sin is death. Not the wages of God, the wages of sin. It was our sin that causes it, not God. So along comes the devil, and man chooses to listen to the devil over God. That's on man, that's not on God. Did you catch what I just said? God had to curse man because it was the same sin the devil had done. God's justice would be violated had man been able to get away with what God punished the devil with. So the same punishment had to come down on man as came down on the devil. There was one difference. Jesus said, God, I know how much man means to you. If you'll allow me, one day in the future, when you set the right time, I will go. I'll be born of a virgin. I'll live a sinless life and live man's righteousness for him as he was supposed to live since we created him. I'll die. I'll shed my blood at Calvary's cross. I'll be buried and I'll conquer death and resurrection 3 days and three nights later. And I'll bring my blood and put it on the mercy seat so that you could have man back. You have to understand something. We did the same sin that Satan did, and yet Jesus did not come for Satan and those angels. He came for us.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means this. Miss Shoebridge, a few weeks ago, took her last breath here, but she didn't die, just her body did. She's more alive now than she ever has been. She went from this temporary life to eternal life. My mom has been in heaven for 6 years now. She's been better than she's ever been her whole life here. Now, I say that to say this: God is eternal. And God had to curse man. God had to curse woman. God had to curse the earth that man lives on, because imperfect man could not get the blessing that came from a perfect world. So, sin and man caused the problems. God did not create it that way. Listen to these next two statements, because the rest of the sermon hinges on this. Eden was what God created and intended for man on earth. Man with his sin and the devil caused the problems. God did not create them. We need to see life as God intended and God wanted, not as it is right now. The reason some of the liberals, and you wonder why the communists are getting in some of our offices, is because we are perverting the Constitution of the United States of America. We are making it to say things, and we have redefined terms that are not the same terms used 250 years ago. We've added new definitions to words, and we're trying to judge what happened 250 years ago based on how we use a word right now. There's something called original intent that we need to get back to. We need to get back to what our forefathers originally said. By the way, I said this last Sunday night. The only Bible our forefathers knew was the King James Bible. There was no other for the English-speaking people. The only Bible Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, and James Madison ever read was the King James Bible. We've allowed the perversions of the Bible to influence even our government. Just thought I'd say that. So, God is eternal, past, present, and future. So, we must take what God originally planned before we sinned as the pattern that God intended for man. Number two. Let's go to something that seems a bit trite, but I'll show you something. We also see God, or Jesus, calming the storms, not creating them. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 8 with me. We read this just a moment ago. Jesus goes into a ship with his disciples. He goes in, he was tired, he lies down in the middle of the ship. Say why? Because that's where it was, the lower you go, the less shaking there is. Look at verse 25. And his disciples, verse 24. Behold, there arose a great tempest, a storm in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. Now, when you got a storm big enough to cover the whole ship with waves, that's not a fun place to be. Remember, about half of these guys were professional fishermen. When you got fishermen afraid of a storm, it's a bad one. Verse 25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we'll perish. He said, look, what's the matter with you, Jesus? You're sleeping and we're about to die. And he saith unto them, why are you so fearful, you little faith? Then he arose, watch what he did, and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Look at me. Jesus did not create the storm, he calmed the storm. Jesus didn't get into the ship and say, okay, storm, kick up. No, he went into the belly of the ship and lay down and went to sleep. It was man's sin that caused the storms, not Jesus. God did not create the storm, sin did. The devil did. Matter of fact, my Bible says that the devil is the prince and power of the air. That's talking about the atmosphere. Quit blaming God for the storms. It's the devil in our sin. Everybody doing okay? Look at Matthew chapter 14, just a few pages over. Look at verse number 22. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to go to get into a ship, and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. When he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Oh, Jesus is up on the mountain praying while the disciples are going across the sea, and the wind starts up and starts the waves up, and the disciples are in trouble in the middle of the sea, but Jesus didn't create the storm. Look at verse 23. Verse 24, I'm sorry. But then the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit, it's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered unto him, said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come thee on the water." And he said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Look at the next verse. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Look at me. Jesus didn't create the storm. Jesus did not create the waves. He stilled them. He walked on the waves. He was more powerful than the waves, but he did not create them. Did he create the water? Yes, he did. Did he create the storm? No. Why is it that we blame God for the storms when they come? He walked on it because he was greater than they. He allowed Peter to walk on it to prove Peter wasn't hot snot on a silver platter. He was a cold booger on a paper plate. He calmed the storm the moment they got back in the ship. Now watch this. Jesus did not create the storm, but he promised to go through the storm with them. God does not create the storms of life, but he said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." He said, "I'll go through the storm with you." We could go to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, and Luke chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. Jesus, again, it's the story of Matthew chapter 8 that we read, asleep in the storm. And he gets up and he speaks and he said, "Peace be still." And the Bible says everything was as calm as glass. Now listen to me. Jesus didn't bring the storm. He calmed the storm. Jesus did not create the storm. He quelled the storm. It's sin and the devil that bring storms. It's Jesus and God who settled them. Can I go back even farther into Scripture? We won't turn there. You go to the book of Jonah. Jonah was in the middle of a storm. Can I tell you why he was running away from God? God didn't send the storm. Jonah was already in a storm before he left. But when the storm came, God sent deliverance to a backslidden preacher. It came by whale belly, amen? They throw Jonah overboard and a whale comes and swallows him up. He spends 3 days and three nights in a whale stomach. Finally says, Lord, if you get me out of here, I'll go preach even though I don't want to. God sent deliverance in the storm. God sent the whale, not the storm. Everybody doing okay? Say, well, what about the flood, preacher? He did it as a one-time act of judgment to purge the earth. That's the only storm in Scripture God sent. Then he sent a rainbow that the perverts have messed up and said he would not destroy the world again by flood. By the way, they're thumbing their nose at God saying that he won't destroy them by their rainbow. Just so you know the difference because they do the colors of the rainbow backwards to really give it to God. Do you remember in Job chapter 1 and 2? The devil goes to God and says, you're not so hot, God. He said, your people only serve you because you're good to them. You let me tear into them and watch what happens. He said, hast thou considered my servant Job? God allows the devil to come. By the way, God did not send the devil. He said, you can do what you want, but spare Job's life. So the devil comes and takes all five of his businesses, kills all of his employees. And in the same day, his children were in a house eating, and a tornado came. Knocked the house down and killed all of Job's children. Listen to me. God did not send the tornado. The devil did. Why does God get the blame for the tornado? Sounds to me like the devil can control that. Yeah. Insurance company need to say it's an act of the devil, not an act of God. Come on now. We're blaming God instead of the person to whom we should blame, the devil. It was sent by the devil, not by God. The devil and sin causes the storms and the storms of life. It is not God. Everybody look at me. I know most each and every person in this room personally. And I know some of the storms you've been through. Health, affliction, relationships, finances, you name it. Can I tell you something? Those weren't sent by God. They're a result of sin. I know a dear lady. She's now in heaven. She now knows the truth. Yesterday would have happened. I can hear what this lady would have said. Well, I don't understand why God allowed our soldiers to die. Those Iranians should have died, not our soldiers. I don't know why God did that. Mad at God. Can I tell you what? I never could convince her it wasn't God. Well, God could have stopped it. I said, that's a humanist point. That happens because of sin. Not that God sent it. One missile has gotten through. While my son was on that base, they intercepted over 1,000 missiles. They have intercepted thousands of missiles since on that base. Out of thousands and thousands of missiles, one is the only one that hit. I'd say God's been protecting them pretty good. But at the same time, it's not God sending the missiles. It's Iran. Folks, just because something bad happens isn't God's fault. The storms of life that come are not sent by God. Every storm Jesus was in, he would calm it. Every storm he walked on the waves. Peace, be still. Notice what they said in Matthew chapter 8. Even the winds and waves obey his voice. He did not send them, he stopped them. By the way, we don't have time to go there, but do you remember when the man was infested with demons and they came out of him and went into a herd of swine? Those demons said, "Don't call us by our name. We know who you are. Send us somewhere else." The demons were afraid of him. You say, why? They knew his voice. It only took the words of our Savior to calm the man from the demons themselves. He didn't send the demons. You see, God didn't create the world to be this way. When the storms come and do damage, why did God do this? No, why did the devil do it? When the fires come, why did God do this? No, why did the devil do this? When the earthquakes come, well, why did God do this? No, why did the devil do this? We ought to give credit to where credit's due, and as a representative of God, let's quit blaming God. God made this world to be in perfect balance. It's our sin that has caused the out of balanceness. Number three. Doing okay? God created man with no affliction. Affliction came because of man sinning and not listening to God. Now, the word affliction is a multifaceted word. Affliction means sickness, disease, not normal human behavior. It's called a liberal. No. The Bible says the wages of sin, Romans 6:23, is death. Look at me. God did not create you. And when you were born, you didn't have an expiration date. God doesn't take life. He gives life. In him is life, and life abundantly. The wages of sin is death, not the wages of God. Well, God took my loved one. No, God did not take your loved one. Sin took your loved one. Let's quit blaming God when our family members and our friends and those we care about die. God did not take them. Sin did. God never intended for them to die. Everybody doing okay? It doesn't mean that they're vile people. It just means we're people, we're sinners.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And the wages of sin is death. Proof we're all sinners? We're all going to face death. As one of my friends used to say, don't take life so seriously. You're not going to make it out alive anyway. You see, God did not create man with sickness. God did not create man with disease. God did not create man with cancer. God did not create man with any of the afflictions that we see. God did not create man with mental affliction. God made man perfect in his image. In the image of God created he him. Quit judging God based on what man is now today. Let's go back to the first Adam prior to sin. Let's go back to the Eve before sin. That's what God created, not what you see today. You see, afflictions are a result of sin. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Brother Steve, how many times in Scripture do we see Jesus going about touching people and healing them, speaking to them and healing them? The Bible says that the multitudes followed them, hoping that they would be healed of their affliction. Jesus would see the blind, oh, that's your wife, and cause the blinded eyes to see. He would take the deaf and cause the deaf to hear. He would take the dumb.
Come on.
Cause the dumb to speak. Keep your mouth shut. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed man's affliction. He did not bring man's affliction.
That's right.
I find nowhere Jesus bringing affliction to people. Right. He was healing it. It's sin that brought affliction. Three times in Scripture, we find God bringing affliction. All three times, it was judgment. One, in Exodus, when God brought the plagues to Egypt to get the Hebrews out of Egypt. 10 plagues. But it was only for a short period of time. It was not long lasting. Second, in the book of Exodus, when Miriam mouthed off to her baby brother and disrespected the man of God, God gave her leprosy. And Moses said, God, would you take it back? And in 24 hours, she was healed. Amen. The last time was with the Philistines when they stole the Ark of the Covenant. And the Bible says that God gave them emer rods and their private parts. Say, what's that? See me later. I can promise you, you don't want it. But again, it was a short judgment. Those are the only times God ever brought affliction, and it was in a sense of judgment. Just because you've gotten sick, or you have cancer, or you have this affliction, or you have this problem, doesn't mean God brought it. Everybody doing okay? Jesus even healed people of mental issues. There's a story throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Talks about a man in a place called Gadara. He was wild. He ran and lived in the cemetery and didn't take care of himself. And the Bible calls him the maniac. We get a word in psychology that's very close to that called manic. Hello. He was not of right mind. The next time they see him, Jesus is seated with him. He's clothed and in his right mind. God did not bring the mental insanity and mental anguish to that man. He healed him of it. When there's a child that's born that's not what we would call normal, God did not cause that, sin does.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean God loves that child less.
That's right. Amen.
They can be a blessing from God as well. Amen. Can I tell you something? God did not intend it to be that way. But sin brings that. It's a result of sin. There's a lady that had an issue of blood. She had a blood disease. She exhausted her resources seeing doctors everywhere. And she said, I won't even talk to him. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. He walked through a crowd. She touched just the bottom of his garment as he passed by. And Jesus stopped as the crowds were pushing in on him. And he looks at his disciples and said, who touched me? Right. What do you mean, Jesus? You're walking in 5,000 people and you said, who touched me? Pick your one. He said, no, I felt virtue leave me. Who touched me? And a woman said, it was me. I didn't mean to bother you, sir, but I figured if I could just touch the hem of your garment, that maybe my blood issue would be gone. He said, you're healed. God did not bring the blood issue. He healed it. God did not create these. They're a result of sin. But listen to me. God did not send the problems to Job. He allowed the devil to. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not. God rewarded Job with twice as much. By the way, cursed his wife because she had to have 10 more kids. She had to be pregnant for another 90 months. Amen? Now, wait a second. I'm there when people get the news, preacher, it's cancer. I'm there when I hear the term, it's malignant. This morning, my dear friend, Brother John C. over in Frederick, first time since May, he's preaching in his own pulpit. He's weak. But he's mustered up enough strength that he's going to try. I don't know what's going to happen. I can tell you this. He ain't going down without a fight. He texted me this morning. He said, I want to thank you and your church. He said, your encouragement's given me the strength this week to do this. Whew. Can I tell you something? God did not bring cancer to Brother C's body. God's giving Brother C the grace to get through this. God didn't send the problems to Job. But he said, I'll go through it with you, son. Right. Listen to this, and I'll finish. Don't put your shoes on yet, though. Death is not brought on by God. Sin causes it. Sickness is not brought on by God. Sin causes it. Affliction is not brought on by God. Sin causes it. Storms and tragedies are not brought on by God. Sin causes it. Jesus came and he conquered death for you and for me. He didn't bring it. He conquered it. Matter of fact, when he was in the grave, he grabbed a hold of the keys to death and hell. He said, devil, you've had them too long. They're mine now. I've whooped you, and now I hold the keys to death and hell. Not the cause of it, but he is unable to, or he's now able to unlock it so that we don't have to die and go there. Then why do we blame him so much? Why do we get angry with God when someone passes? Why do we get angry with God when affliction comes? Why do we blame God for every what we would call nature event that affects us? God's not controlling it. The devil is. Sin is. It's time we take God off trial. We need to quit judging God based on a sin-cursed world. We're judging God based on what we see today, not what he made it to be. God never intended for you to have cancer. God never intended for you to have affliction. God never intended for you to see death. Then why are you blaming him for it? How about we go back to Eden and see what God wanted? Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm about to shout. This verse will never have made more sense to you in your whole life. Look at verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Look at me. God didn't bring the storm. Lord, don't you care that we're about to die? Peace. Be still. He worked things out for good. He didn't stop the bad from coming. He didn't send the bad. He walked on the waves. He allowed Peter to. When Peter looked around, poked his chest out and said, "Look at me," he began to sink. Said, "Lord, help. He's only that far away." Mm-hmm. Not till he got back to the ship did he calm the sea. Watch this. God never promised to keep problems from coming, but he promised to work as much good out of it for you as he could. Did you know that water is good? But too much water will kill you? Sin sometimes is not bad. It's just too much at the wrong time. God intended for there to be love, marriage, and physical life. You get those out of order, things are bad. Just like God intended salvation, baptism, growing in the Lord, doing good things. You get those out of place and start doing good things and get baptized and join churches to try to get salvation, you got it backwards. Sin is often good done in the wrong order or done too much. And God has to try to work things out for our good. My buddy Kevin back here. Good night. 40 some years ago now, wasn't it, Miss Melody? 41 years ago. He was on his motorcycle down here at Route 11 and Apple Harvest Drive and got hit by a truck. Threw him all the way across the intersection. Laid in the hospital for months. They said he would never live, never walk, never be normal. They didn't know Mama. She said, "Y'all don't know what you're talking about." He may not walk well, but he sure is doing a whole lot more than they ever said he would do. They said he'd be a vegetable. He's not a vegetable. He's kind of fruity, but he's not a vegetable. You'll not see a man that has a better spirit about the affliction that he has than he does, though. Came in last week and it was storming. He said, "Don't worry about it, preacher." He said, "It just shakes right off of me." It's because he ain't got no hair on top and it just rolls off. You won't find a guy that has a better attitude. Can I tell you why? He doesn't blame God for it. God didn't send that. And yet God's gotten glory from it because he's worked it out for good. But I want you to notice something. God didn't say he's going to work all things together for your good. We're too selfish. We think that means it's got to be good to me. Several years ago, my oldest son, Josh, and his wife, Ruth Ann, they've lost three babies. They were in the process of beginning fostering to adopt. Once they got cleared, I said, "Son," I said, "Mom and I are going to pray that God," and he said, "Dad, stop. Be careful." That little twit of a son of mine had more wisdom than his old man when he looked at me and he said, "Dad, be careful. For us to get what we want means somebody else has to go through some pretty bad things. Be careful how you pray." Whew. How humbling. How humbling. May I say something? He was right. Realize for you to get what you want sometimes means somebody else doesn't get what they want. We enjoy our freedom in America, but there's families right now grieving and hurting over two that were killed and four that are wounded in Jordan right now. We love our freedom, but do you realize somebody else isn't enjoying the prosperity of it as much. I texted my son today. He's in the Caribbean, protecting our country. And I said, I hurt for those families, but I am thankful to God that it wasn't you. I said, son, you have no idea. I know how those families fear, living in fear every day. I said, I'm proud of you. He said, Dad, one of my friends is over there and just left this last week. Got out of there just before that hit. He said the one that was killed did the very job he did while he was there. He said, I know what post he was at and where he was killed. Cold chill up and down my spine. I said, you wonder why your old man prays for you every day. I said, but I understand a little bit of the fear that family faces right now. Just because it's good for you doesn't mean it's good for everybody. Maybe we ought to take God off trial. Maybe we ought to quit blaming God for so much and realize God didn't bring those problems. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll go through it with you. But God didn't bring it. Let's quit blaming God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know for sure you're going to go to heaven someday, you're missing the greatest opportunity in the world. You don't have to die and go to a place called hell. Jesus came and paid our sin debt for us. He conquered death. He conquered all of our sins so that we could live forever with him. You don't get it by joining this church. You don't get it by being baptized or being a good person. You get it by trusting what Jesus Christ did. And that alone to get you to heaven. I'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, 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 many hands. You may put them down. Is there one that would say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I'll not embarrass you. I won't call you out. But I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. God bless you. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if God spoke to your heart today, why don't you come kneel at an old-fashioned altar? Let's take God off trial. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Only take 2 or 3 minutes. But whatever the need.